reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles on page 125 in the book of Leviticus. We read Leviticus 18, 1 through 5, and also 19, 9 through 18. A lot of people think that love your neighbor is something that Jesus invented. But as we see in this reading, love your neighbor is something that God from the very beginning commanded his people to do. Beginning at verse 1 of chapter 18, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived. And you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." Continuing at 19, verse 9. "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, found on page 1259, and we read Colossians 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you. As indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you. Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke. Page 1111 in your pew Bibles, and we read Luke 10, beginning at verse 25. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you may spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers. He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on both your gospel lesson for today and your Old Testament lesson. But I'd like to begin with these words repeated from Leviticus. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived. And you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. This is our text. Tragedy and evil abounds in this world, but every now and again, it seems to be taken to a new level, as it was this last week in our nation, where an angry man reacting to the deaths of two black men by policemen decided to, if you will, assassinate policemen, saying something to the effect of, I just want to kill some white people. And so a man just married, combat veterans who had served a lengthy time protecting our own nation, were gunned down by someone they probably hadn't met, and by someone who probably had no clue as to who they were, and maybe had never met them before. And the question I'd like to put before you as you ponder that event is this. Do you think the individual who killed the five policemen felt justified in what he was doing?
You said it.
Yeah, he probably did. Now, God willing, we here today wouldn't feel justified in doing something like that, but he did. But had we had the opportunity to walk up to him and ask him a question before he went out and do this, and I know that's kind of a crazy scenario, and we're able to ask him, I know you feel justified in what you're about to do, but is this how you show love to other people? What do you think he would have responded with? Yeah, maybe he felt justified, but I think he'd be hard-pressed to argue with anybody that what he was doing had anything to do with love. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. And to this we might add, And you shall not do as they do in America. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. And if you were to summarize all that God's rules boil down to, our gospel lesson makes their summary quite clear. A lawyer, one skilled in the law and in the ancient Jewish world, that specifically meant God's laws as given in Scripture, came up to Jesus to test him. What are the greatest commandments? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus didn't even have to explain it to him. He just asked him a question. What do you read? What do you think the law says? And the man knew the right answer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He not only knew this from his own study of God's word, but my friends, we all know that. Because when God created us, he created us in his image. And he put his law within our hearts. Oh, it is corrupted. We try to rebel against it, ignore it, explain it away. But nonetheless, it is there. God created us to love one another. But we don't. That is our problem. And even though he had the right answer when Jesus praised him for understanding what the law requires, the man felt convicted in his own heart because he, like us, knew that we sin every day. That what God requires of us is not met. And so we read, and he, desiring to justify himself, asked, "And who is my neighbor?" He was looking for wiggle room. You know, if I can narrow this neighbor definition down, maybe I can look good. And it's somewhat interesting, at least in Orthodox Judaism today, they do have it narrowed down a little bit. Although in Leviticus, if you keep on reading, that love your neighbor as yourself verse is repeated, and not just with Jewish people, it's repeated also with the sojourner in the land. The total stranger, who might not even be Jewish. He could be a Lutheran. But if you're a Lutheran and you're wandering in Jewish lands, they're supposed to love you just like one of their own. Love your neighbor as yourself. But in their own laws today, they'd restrict it to just, if you will, Jewish neighbors. Maybe that's what that man had in mind when he said, "Well, what do you really mean? Love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus then tells the parable. A man is beaten, robbed, left half dead, and a priest comes along and he sees the man. But instead of doing anything to help him, he just walked on by. Now, surely he would know God's law. But how would he be able to just ignore that man and walk by? Well, he probably came up with some justifications. You know, he's a priest. He has temple duties. He has to stay ritually pure in order to carry out his duties. Well, you know, I can't help him. Somebody else is going to have to do it. The Levite also comes by, sees the man, and does nothing. And he, too, had his own justifications and probably the same kind of purity laws that the priest was worrying about. For you see, if you touch somebody and they're dead, you're ritually impure for an extended period of time. He looked half dead. We don't know. Now, if you had been in the crowd of that day, chances are you would have been a Jew yourself, but probably not a priest or a Levite. You didn't go to the temple every day or every week. You were a little less concerned with ritual purity, and you were probably saying to yourself, as Jesus is telling that story, I'd have helped the guy. I wouldn't worry about all that. I'd gone over and see if I could do something for him. You were justifying yourself and feeling pretty good. But then Jesus turned the tables on even the common man listening to his words. For the next person, the one who shows mercy, was a Samaritan. And even the common everyday Jew hated the Samaritans. If you had to get from Jerusalem to, let's say, Capernaum and up north, and you were a Jew, you wouldn't take the quickest route because you wouldn't set foot on Samaritan land. You'd go 20, 30 miles out of your way. That's a lot of extra walking just to avoid putting your feet on Samaritan soil. Why, you wouldn't cross the street to help out a Samaritan. And yet this Samaritan crosses the street to help the Jew. And he had all kinds of reasons he could have thought of, I'm sure, not to do that. These Jewish people hate me. They despise me. They make fun of me. Oh, he would come up with all kinds of reasons. But he wasn't worried about justifying himself. He saw a person in need, and he loved him. Now maybe you and I will never become so angry that we'll take out a gun and just start shooting people. But haven't we all at some point in time act without love because we had our justifications? You had a lousy day at work. Traffic was horrible coming home. You get home and boy, they just better get out of your way because you're in a bad mood. Have you ever snapped at somebody who didn't do anything wrong, but you just hadn't turned that angry button off yet and they happened to be there? You didn't love because you had your justifications. Is that any different than the man who killed 5 policemen this week? Why did God love us? It's not because we're lovable. He created us. He gave us everything. And we don't just sin daily. We sin hourly, even by the minute. There's probably some of you going here right now, I wish you'd get over with this sermon. I've got someplace I got to be. We sin in thought, word, and deed, despite God's goodness to us. And yet, when he saw our hopeless condition, he sent his own son to die for us. And in that event, he removed from us the burden of justification. It is not we who have to make things right. It is he and he alone, through the blood of his son shed on the cross, that makes things right. And he gives us that righteousness as a free gift. We don't have to justify ourselves. He does. And when we fully understand what that means, it changes how we do live in this world. When those thoughts arise in our hearts, I want to do this, I want to do that, because God's law is written in our hearts, God's accusing begins to be felt. And we want to wiggle around it. We want to try some way we can justify doing what we know is not the right thing to do. But you can never justify it. All we can do when we have those feelings is confess our sins, receive God's forgiveness. And instead of trying to invent some new justification, just love each other. Share that love that God has poured into our hearts. That's what's different about being a Christian. That's what makes our statutes different from the world's statutes. That's why we don't live like everybody else. And yes, we will still sin. But the work of justification is God's and God's alone. And when we realize that, that's when we receive the power to love the way God has loved us. May God grant that we remember every day how we have been justified in the blood of Christ. And in a world of turmoil and tragedy, and what people believe is justifiable hatred, may we point them to the one alone who can justify, that we might live in his love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.